following message is from New Life Gillette series When All Hell Breaks Loose. This week, Pastor Mike presents part 4 of this series.
Happy Memorial Day weekend. Good morning. Let me say welcome to those of you who are watching online. I hear there's a lot more of you online today than usual. So hey, why not right now, you're watching, type in the chat where you're watching from. I know a lot of you are on vacation and traveling around, maybe even checking us out for the first time. Type in the chat where you are today. Let me say welcome to the guys over at the prison, to our friends at the jail, and to those of you who are here in the room. We are in week 4 of a series about all hell breaking loose. We've kind of talked about the evil in the world and pain in the world and everything that bad happens in the world is kind of, we talk about it metaphorically as hell being here in the world. And our goal is to bring more and more of heaven into the world, to eradicate that hell from our world. And so we're in week 4 today talking about that. And when I look back over at my life, a lot of the hell that has been introduced into my life is usually a result of things that I've done. My screw-ups, my weaknesses, my dumb decisions. I'm pretty naturally a driven person. I should say more so, I'm a competitive person. Our staff recently did this test. It's like one of those leadership books that we went through, and it asked whether you're more hungry, humble, or smart. Those were the three categories, and that kind of determines the best employees or the best leaders are people who are hungry, humble, and smart. Those are the three categories. So hungry would be like driven people, and humble would be like people like to be around you and people like to work with you, and smart would be like political smarts, like your people smarts type thing. And so we take this test, and I'm like all hungry, all driven. Like the humble and smart things are kind of low, and I need to work on those. But driven, that's me. I'm the hungry guy, competitive, fight, advance, grow, improve. That's just the type of guy I am. And if I look back over my life, I think that's largely because of my upbringing. Many of you know that I'm a twin, and my twin, if you've ever seen him, is a 6'3" bigger dude than I am. But it was even more true because I kind of hit puberty in college. It was even more true when we were really young. Like there was a point, I think it was like 8th, 9th grade, where he's like a foot taller than I am. And so growing up, having a twin that's bigger than you, at the time he's smarter than me, I don't want to say that anymore, probably a little better looking than me, having gone through puberty and I didn't, and all these other issues. And I started to develop this inferiority complex in my life that was just not healthy. And at the time we played all the sports, and I was not a starter. He was a starter in a lot of the sports. And so that was just a problem for me. So I was like, I'm done with the sports thing. I'm done competing. I got to find my own arena to succeed in because I'm done failing. I'm too competitive to keep failing. So I got into music. And in music, it was going well for me. And I was succeeding in music. And I was I made a band. And this band started playing with some people. And there was one night where we got the chance to play with David Crowder. At the time, I'd never heard of the guy. And many of you have probably heard of David Crowder. And David Crowder is playing at the same event we're playing at. And we're backstage. And this guy's playing around on his guitar and teaching us things. I'm just didn't know this guy was gonna become like a crazy famous musician at the time. And I was watching David Crowder and I was thinking, I can't get there. Like I'm a decent musician, but I'm watching this and I'm like, I can't win here. This is gonna be another, I've got a twin that's a foot taller than me type scenario. I can't succeed in this world if there are human beings with this much talent. So I got another inferiority complex. I decided, okay, it's not music. Let me try something else. And then I got into academics. And I wasn't the smartest guy in my class, but I could outwork the people in my class because they didn't care as much. And so I decided, and this is how I usually told my family. I would tell my family, I am going to be the first one in our family to get my doctorate degree. And I was on my way. I was fighting towards it until my dumb brother and sister both beat me to it. Love you guys. And got their doctorate degrees and beat me to it. And I all my life, it's just like people keep beating me and I'm competitive. I don't like this. Right now I'm like, okay, what's next? I'll try escape rooms. I don't know anybody else who's doing escape rooms, so I'll try that. But in my life, I've just always kind of been driven to be the best, to grow, to be good at things. And the good thing about this is that even though my weaknesses have caused problems in my life, God has usually taken this probably mental issue that I have and turned it into something valuable, something that's been useful in my life, this drive, this desire to grow and prove. And one thing that I've learned as he's developed me and matured me in this area is that driven people are forced to look into the future or run into a wall. And I've done both. I mean, this is kind of the reality of driving, right? If you're a driven person, you have to know the rules of the road. And you have to know where you're going. I mean, if you're just driven, if you're just driving forward, it's probably not going to lead you anywhere you want to go. Otherwise, you'll just wander around and accomplish nothing in your life, but you're driven. Jesus said, anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Sometimes Jesus is harsh in his language. We don't like Jesus to be blunt sometimes, but he is. Why is he saying this? He's like, well, if you're plowing and you start looking backwards, what's going to happen? You're going to get off track. You're not planting a very straight row. This is not very usable if we're planting. He's saying, hey, you left Egypt. Don't go back to Egypt. Keep looking forward. See the promised land. Work toward it. Do what it takes. Sacrifice so that you can get to your goal. Look forward. The title of my message today is Look to the Future. When all hell breaks loose, look to the future. And here's the hard truth. Unhealthy people cannot see very far into the future. They can't try new things. They can't take risks. They can't think far in advance about what they're going to achieve someday because they're unhealthy. They're just surviving. They're just trying to make it today. But the opposite is also true. Healthy people set goals. They do look to the future. If you're living your life just trying to survive day to day, if you're not thriving, then you can't even see the future because all you can think about is making it through the day. Here are some examples. Debt. If you're living paycheck to paycheck, all you can see is the next bill. I can't even think about the long term. All that just seems totally out of reach. I just got to pay this next bill. It's all about making money to survive. And that just kind of consumes you. If you live paycheck to paycheck or if you're in massive debt, but if you're healthy financially, then you're at a place where you can save money for the future, to invest in your future, to have dreams and goals in your life. What about physical health? Well, if you don't eat right and you don't exercise, or if you have other medical problems, even if they're not caused by a lack of eating right or exercise, those problems will eventually get your attention. Those problems will eventually consume you. Maybe you have cancer, or maybe you have some other illness, and it just seems like that unhealthiness is just grabbing all of your attention. Nothing else really seems to matter because that is the most important thing in your life. And what it does is it really shortens your ability to see into the future and to make plans long into the future. Here's a big one, addictions. When you're addicted to something, all you can think about is getting back to it. The next hit, the next drink, the next high. And this is a miserable life to live. This is a painful and hard life to live. It's this downward spiral that you just seem like you can't get out of it. You just feel like no matter what you do, you're just stuck there. You can't think that far into the future or make dreams about anything else because you can't imagine yourself getting out of this situation. You're a slave to your addiction. Well, I think there's freedom. I believe there is freedom to those who are addicted. We just have to learn not to give up what we want most for what we want now. Because all of us have a want. All of us have a desire. There's something in front of us. I want to eat that, but I know I shouldn't eat that. I want to do that, but I know I shouldn't do that. And in the moment, we have to decide, I'm going to sacrifice right now. And then I'm going to work hard to accomplish something in the future, long into the future. Because major achievements don't happen overnight. Okay, you can come up with a couple examples of a couple people winning the lottery. Anybody who's hoping to win the lottery to prove me wrong on this one, good luck. Major achievements do not happen overnight. In fact, a lot of people who win lottery end up in debt. They didn't learn how to spend because they didn't put the work into earning the money because they didn't grow over time in that making of money. A lot of times they just end up going bankrupt. They take these major achievements take years of sacrifice and growth and maturing. So how do we start to see the future? Because all of us are unhealthy in at least one area. I am unhealthy in multiple areas. That does not mean that we are all terribly unhealthy in a bunch of ways and we have no way. Most of us can look at our lives and see some potential and see something in our life that we can be developed, that we can improve. But it's all about intentional growth. It's about intentional learning and maturing. And we believe that the freedom that God gives us in this journey allows us to grow and gives us the strength to grow. So how do we do this? First, we put relationships first. First, our relationship with God and our relationship with others. When we are weak, we need support. We can't do this on our own. We need accountability. When we're tempted to stop pursuing our goal and we're tempted to take what we want now and sacrifice what we want later. Our friends, those who love us, those who we are in relationship with us will remind us the why behind the what we are doing. Will remind us of our long-term goals. Jesus once told a story to his disciples. There was a certain rich man who had a manager handling his affairs. So rich man hires somebody to manage his money in his household. One day, a report came to the manager, not the rich man, but the manager, that the manager was wasting his employer's money. So the employer called him in and said, "What's this I hear about you? Get your report in order because you are going to be fired." Now remember, this is a made-up story. This is a fictional story that Jesus is telling to teach a point. What's he trying to teach us? So this money manager just instantly went from financially healthy to financially unhealthy. He lost his job. It happened almost instantaneously. Now he's got very little time and very little opportunity to do something about it. And the manager thought to himself, "Now what? My boss has fired me. I don't have the strength to dig." He's looking at his qualities here. "And I'm too proud to beg." He's being honest about my qualities. I'm being honest about what my potential is for the future. He's looking into the future. He's saying, "I can't do these things." So this money manager has a short time to figure out what he is going to do in his future. He's dreaming. He's planning. And he's decided to look to the future and pick a path. He can't do much because his income is about to go away. So what does he do? He prioritizes relationships. I know how to ensure that I'll have plenty of friends who will give me a home when I am fired. He focuses on people. So he invited each person who owed money to his employer to come and discuss the situation. He asked the first one, "How much do you owe him?" The man replied, "I owe him 800 gallons of olive oil." So the manager told him, "Take the bill and quickly change it to 400 gallons. Cut it in half." "And how much do you owe my employer?" he asked the next man. "I owe him 1,000 bushels of wheat," was the reply. "Here," the manager said, "take the bill and change it to 800 bushels. And the audience, when Jesus is telling this story, is assuming that the rich man is going to be furious at the money manager. This is kind of like, this is not honest way of dealing, right? He's making friends by forgiving giving money back that is actually owed to his boss. I mean, this is a made-up story. Jesus can make this boss react in whatever way he wants to this boss to react. So I imagine in this moment, Jesus knows what they're expecting, and Jesus smiles, and he says, "The rich man had to admire the dishonest rascal, the money manager, for being so shrewd." And it is true that the children of this world are more shrewd in dealing with the world around them than are the children of the light. Jesus is saying, "Wise up! I created all of you with enough ability and enough smarts to do what I've called you to do. To do what you need to do to invest in your future. And Christians, we should be the best at this. We are the ones who know we were designed for a purpose. We are the ones who know we were knit together in our mother's womb. We were not created by accident. So we are the ones who should know that we should invest those gifts that we've been given. We should be better at this." Then Jesus interpreted the story for them. Here's the lesson. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Then when your possessions are gone, they will welcome you to an eternal home. So look to the future and realize that the most valuable thing that you can have in the future are healthy relationships. So start building them now so that they will be there for you in the future. What's the second thing we should do? Determine to change. If it's debt, make a plan. You got to get out of debt. You got to start saving. You got to sign up for a Dave Ramsey Financial Peace University class or Joe Sengel, "I was broke, now I'm not" class. You got to make a plan. If it's an unhealthy lifestyle, you got to go through the cupboards and you got to throw the Oreos away. Sorry. I know in my life, my wife likes to buy these bags of Dove chocolate pieces and she hides them, but I know where they are. And I know that if I really was going to get serious about losing a little bit of weight right now, I would tell her, "Stop buying the Dove chocolate." But I like the Dove chocolate. Make the hard decisions. Give up what you want now for what you want in the long term. If it's an addiction, get in a 12-step program like we talked about last week. It's going to take time and it's going to take effort. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be incredibly difficult, but it's worth it. Because it usually takes longer to break a bad habit than to form a bad habit. Yes, some people quit cold turkey. Some people are determined to change, but that's not usually the case. Some people change without any help from anybody else, but that's almost never the case. People have to get to the point where they are totally fed up with the bad habit or totally fed up with the situation that they are in. They have to start hating it so that they will actually do something to change it. And unfortunately, some people have to hit rock bottom. And that's ugly. That's painful. Nobody likes seeing it. Nobody likes watching it. Oftentimes it ends up in incarceration, don't let it get there. Elliot Berkman says, long-time habits are literally entrenched at the neural level, so they are powerful determinants of behavior. The good news is that people are nearly always capable of doing something else. This is a psychologist saying this, he knows. The good news is that people are nearly always capable of doing something else when they're made aware of the habit and are sufficiently motivated to change. Sufficiently motivated to change. Determined. So what is it going to take to make you sick of your bad habit? To make you sick of the situation that you are in and finally do what it takes to change? Because let's be honest, you know what it's going to take. You are fully aware. You don't need me to lecture you about the steps that you need to take. You know what they are. Maybe you've got a little bit of doubt about whether or not it's possible. He says it is and God says it is, so it is. You know what it'll take. But you'll have to get totally fed up with the situation you're in and do it. So if it's financial health, go to the cash method or throw away the credit cards or make your wife approve everything you buy. That'll really do it. Make your savings come out of your paycheck automatically so that you can't touch it. Sell your car and buy a junker. You know how to do it. You just have to do it. You have to learn how to delay gratification. And the longer you wait for something, the more when you get it, you'll appreciate it. And sometimes you'll put off that gratification for long enough. When it comes time to buy it, you're going to think, you know what? I actually don't need it or want it anymore. In fact, they're probably coming out with a new model next year that's going to be better, so I'll just wait till then. The new iPhone comes out in 5 seconds. If it's physical health, clean out your cabinets, quit buying junk food, set your alarm for 5 a.m. and get to the gym. Stop eating cake in the shower. I don't know, do people do that? Maybe that was just me. For people with terminal illnesses, this is a hard one. Because getting out of your situation takes more than just getting healthy. You'd love to get healthy. It's not that simple. But for you, seeing far into the future means changing the way you're thinking about your situation. For you, terminal illness, for you, it means adopting an eternal perspective. No, your future does not end when your body dies. These bodies are temporary, and as long as we live in them, we will use every bit of energy that they give us to lead people to God, to be given totally to His mission that He's given to our lives, to be given totally to our calling. And for some of us, that is a long time. And for others of us, that is a short time. But whatever energy that we have and whatever time we have, we will use every ounce of it to give ourselves to God, because our purpose is not a temporary purpose that is only meant to fulfill something in this life. Our purpose is an eternal purpose. And if there is some unhealth in our life that is keeping us from accomplishing that purpose in the time that God has given us, then we change that unhealth so we can be more usable to God, more useful to God. And that allows us to really dream. And this is fun. This is the fun step. This is where we get to combine our experiences, combine our passions, combine our ideas and our personalities, and begin to dream about what God can do with us. Like this.
Have you ever had a dream that you want him to do you so much you could do anything?
Have Have you ever had a dream where you felt like you could do anything? It's kind of what he said there. It took him a little bit of time to get it out. When we learn that we have a role to play in this world, that we have a role to play in literally bringing heaven to earth, in ushering in God's kingdom to this world, and helping people and the whole world become what God created it to be, when we learn that we have a part to play in that, then we are more useful to God. The things that we see now will soon go away, will soon be gone. But the things we cannot see will last forever. Because a dream to make more money will lead you to depression. But a dream, an eternal dream, is worth sacrificing for. It's worth giving something up for. If we're all just going to die and turn into dust, then why delay gratification? What if I die tomorrow? What's the point? There's no reason to get healthy. But if our dream is eternal, then I will do everything I can to get healthy enough that I'm more useful to God. Paul told Timothy, fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you. Only God can make you who he created you to be. He's the only one that can do this forming. He's the only one that can do this molding process. We can try to do it alone, but we will fail. And we can try to do it without seeking God. But again, we will only be seeking a temporary goal that will fade away. So if it's an addiction, if you try to just stop drinking by focusing more on stopping drinking, you're probably not going to stop drinking. But if you try to stop drinking by filling that bad habit time with a good habit, then maybe it's possible. If maybe you are able to remove something in your life, to give up something that you want now, and replace that something with something that is valuable, that is something good, then God can use that goodness and he can grow it in your life. And it can begin taking over all areas of your life. This is one of the 150,000 reasons that I think church is so incredibly valuable. Consume yourself. Not, okay, on the side, yeah, I'm a Christian, move on. Consume yourself with your Christian mission. Volunteer. Join a life group. Make Christian friends. Go on a Christian mission. Do whatever you can to consume your life with your Christian mission. And another temptation we have is to say, okay, I'll do that stuff once I get my life together. Once I remove all the bad habits, then I'll start getting into the good stuff. No, that's not how it works. The way it works is you fill your life so full of the good stuff that there's no room for the bad stuff. Start serving right now. Start being sacrificial right now. Start giving right now. Adopt healthy habits. And healthy habits are formed when we do hard things for long periods of time until eventually those healthy things become habits. When you start, they'll be hard, but your muscles will be built and it will become less and less hard. Your muscles will grow and those actions will become a part of who you are. And then the next step, do hard things until they become easy things. Maybe that won't happen in this life, but keep doing them. Our goal is to become the people that God created us to be, and that requires us to change. I'm not trying to make you feel like you're some terrible person. I'm not trying to say that you've got to reach some kind of pinnacle of goodness in order to be a part of our congregation. I am inviting you to take an honest look at your life and look into the future and decide, is who I am now going to allow me to accomplish the dreams that God has placed in my life? I'm inviting you to become who God created you to be. Look into your future. Dream. And what do you see? Is it a temporary dream or is it an eternal dream? God will give you loving relationships. God will give you purpose if you will allow him to. You can't do this on your own, but he can make you who he created you to be if you will give your life to him, if you will surrender to him. Without God, we cannot become who we were created to be. The world wants you to conform, to just step in line, do what they say, follow their instructions, use their language. Conform, that's good enough. That's not what God wants for you. God wants something bigger for you. Not conformation, but transformation. God wants to make you somebody who is brand new. God wants to give you a new life, a totally new being. Rebirth. Doesn't that sound awesome? I mean, conform, get in line, obey, boring. This is not the Christian way. That's what people try to portray religion as. That's not what God has called us to. Not conform, get in line, follow rules. Transform, rebirth, and do a new, better you. A healthier you. The world is not interested in you becoming who you were created to be. They're only interested in you becoming something if that something will help them. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I don't need you to fall in line for my help. I don't need you to conform for my help. My help comes from the Lord. And if you're ready to change, ready to become who you were created to be, then today is the day. Determine today. Trust in him. Run to him. Follow his instructions for your life. Surrender fully to his calling in your life and allow him to mold you. Become the moldable clay that, it's probably going to have to get beat up a little bit before it's moldable, that he can create the person that he created you to be. Run the race with perseverance. And follow him. And on this, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. Those are two statements that sound easy when you read them. They're not easy. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. If you're ready for change, today is the day. Now is the time. Turn to him, run to him, follow him, surrender your life to him, and allow him to remake you. Allow him to give you a new life. Allow him to give you a hope and a future. Run the race with perseverance when times are hard, and surrender to him. God, I thank you for dreams. God, I thank you for purpose. I thank you for molding us, for knitting us together in our mother's wombs, for giving us skills and brains and abilities and dreams that we can then turn into something eternal, something hopeful, something good. God, I pray that you would give strength and hope and peace to people today who need to see the future, who need to look to the future and make it possible for them to become who they were created to be. God, I pray that you would help them to make the hard decisions today. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.